Welcome to Not Over, Just Different. I'm your host, Natalie Ledwell, founder of Mind Movies, the ultimate personal development tool to visualize and achieve your greatest life. This podcast is for women who are looking for inspiration and guidance as they navigate the changes that come through moving through the various stages of life, or for anyone asking themselves, who do I want to be? Now, on this transformational show, I'll be talking to inspiring people from all walks of life about their stories of how they faced and overcame life's challenges in powerful ways. These are raw, candid conversations, often not shared until now. We'll be discussing topics like health, relationships, life's transitions, aging gracefully, and learning to see life from a fresh new perspective. We explore what it means to continually grow and evolve as your world changes and live a fulfilling life. As well, we'll provide you with amazing tools and resources to help you move through change with courage and resilience. So if you're ready to take the plunge and start your journey to becoming your most powerful, authentic self, then join me, Natalie Ledwell, on Not Over, Just Different, for insightful conversations about how to tackle life's new chapter. Well, hello everyone, and welcome to the podcast for this week. This week, I have Drs. Michael and Barbara Grossman with me. Hello, you two. How are you today?
Great. Excellent.
I'm very excited about this subject because we're going to be talking about how to fall in love forever. Is there really such a thing? And how do we maintain love on a long-term basis? This is, you know, something that, you know, I think when we all get married, we all assume that it's for life. And then life happens and we change and things change and the world changes. And sometimes we can roll with those changes and other times we don't. So it's an interesting concept to talk about. So I'll ask you first, Dr. Michael, like, do you believe that people can fall in love forever?
Yes, absolutely can fall in love forever. And it's a lot of work.
Right.
It's a lot of work. It's not like an automatic process of just riding downhill and just having it happen to you. No, there's a lot of work because you change and your partner changes. And as you change, all of a sudden you're in love with a different person than it was you thought you were in love with. And so what we teach is that there are three parts to falling in love forever. In our new book that we wrote, Ageless Love, the first part is understanding romantic love, how different it is than other kinds of love. And we'll talk about that. The second part of the book is the body part of the book, is how to keep your body youthful at any age so that you can feel that energy and vibrancy of being in love.
Right.
I was a medical doctor. I do a lot of that kind of fun stuff. And then the third part of the book is talking about the spiritual part that you have to pay attention to. That involves meditation, it involves forgiveness, and it involves things like your mind moving. You've got to work on that spiritual part to keep that going. And that's important aspect of falling in love forever. So you have three different qualities and areas, and you have to work on all of them. It's not like you just work on one. You have to do all the different things.
Yeah. Well, and the spiritual pillar, it sounds like it's something that's not, I mean, it's something that individually we want to do, but also is it different doing it as a couple? Like, should we focus just on the individual and show up in the best version of ourselves, or should we be doing that as a team?
Well, that's an interesting question. I would say that you have to do it as an individual. Spiritual growth is your responsibility.
Right.
But I must tell you that I drag Barbara to what I think we should do for spiritual growth, and Barbara drags me to what she thinks we should do for spiritual growth. And I never would have gone on the things that she dragged me to. It wasn't in my mindset that why would you want to do that kind of thing? And then I've done those things for Barbara too, and say, hey, let's do this meditation retreat thing and go away and so on. She says, I don't know. But so we do that for each other. We push each other to grow in these different ways. And yeah, but we still have to do it ourselves.
Right. So what are some of the spiritual practice that you've had to drag Dr. Michael into, Dr. Barbara?
Well, a lot of our important initial growth started in our 30s, after we had established that we were, you know, what our work identity is and that we created our family. Then what we realized, since we were no longer in our 20s and the responsibilities were really great, what we realized was, Michael was involved in building his practice. I was involved in a lot with children that Michael, from my point of view, Michael needed to develop his feelings part of his life. He was very focused on his being responsible and creating value to his patients. And as a mom, I was in my heart and my feelings. So Michael, you know, I took Michael on courses to develop his feelings and connect it with his spirituality. His spirituality was very mental and cosmic, but not personalized. And Michael took me to, we had phenomenal meditation courses all over Europe and the States that were more meditation oriented and abstract.
So one of the things she brought me on was a course which focused on looking at your complaints about life, the big complaints. And I had a big complaint that my mother really didn't nurture and love me the way I needed it. She was really tough.
Right.
And so I complained about it. So we had this course, 150 people there, and I argued the whole 3 days about that I had a right to not
forgive her,
not to give up my complaints. And And so eventually I saw that it was holding me back. So, all right. So it took a whole three days of arguing. All right, I'll give up my complaints about my mom. And I was finished complaining about her. So 7 years later, she said, I think we should take the course again. I said, no, I don't need to take the course. I've already done that.
I've ticked that box.
So I took the course again. And the weird thing was I had nothing to say. The first time I argued more than anybody with the head person and all that. I said nothing. During the breaks, you have a 10-minute bathroom break every 2 hours or something. I go in the bathroom and I cry. And I just cried. And every break, that's what I did. The whole 3 days, I went to the bathroom and cried. And I had no idea I had so much stuff still left over. My intellect said, okay, I forgive my mom. But my heart, it was like a big thing. I would never have done that. She pressed me into doing that.
Well, and the rest of the story is you started sending your mom flowers and calling her and you know, your heart just bloomed. It opened up and you became really a different man. It was really beautiful.
Yeah. So my question to you, Dr. Barbara, is how do you, because, you know, it from my experience, and maybe you fall into this category, maybe people who are listening can identify with this as well. It's very easy to see what we need, what our partner needs to fix, rather than what we need to fix ourselves. So how do you approach that conversation? How do you make that suggestion? And as a couple, how should we be showing up, you know, in that? Because it's one thing to ask the question, and I would love to know how you did that. But the other thing is, like, for the other person to be open to going, yeah, I think I'm going to try this. Like, how does that work?
Well, I mean, I have to say that I had started to grow myself. After, you know, having children is that you're very involved in the needs of others. Mm. And at some point, I went back to graduate school and I started to develop my own thinking. I was so busy being attached to the family and taking care of everyone. And as I sorted myself out and I started, you know, to really grow, I got in touch with what I wanted and needed. And so I started to express that. And I had help along the way. There's a way to ask for what you want.
Right.
You have to ask nicely and you have to, honor your partner's individuality. You can't demand. But Michael, you know, he was willing to explore and go forward. And I think it didn't hurt that I was becoming a nicer wife.
Right.
So, and Michael's played that role for me. He's, um, He's had me, you know, do adventures that I would not have naturally done. And we've done, you know, what I experienced over the course of decades was one or another mentors that I allowed myself to be, learn from. And there's so much to learn about wisdom in life.
Yeah.
I realized that I had to forgive myself for a lot of things. I had to repair relationships. I had to get right with myself. If you don't feel right with yourself, it's hard to make requests and have them be, you know, open-hearted. There's always a twist if you have doubts about your own self-worth. So I had to do that kind of thing. And I have intuitively, I know there's more in life. And so I'm always looking for that. And Michael's a great partner for that. So it's always good to find a partner for whom your values have affinity.
Yes. I know there's always another level, isn't there? So what do you think is the common challenge that couples face today? What's something that's very common that comes up with a lot of different couples?
What I see is at a certain point, everyone gets into their selves and they get, they collect their resentments and mm-hmm. they get angry and they don't understand how life, creates a certain collusion where we accommodate until we're sick of it. And then we blame our partner for our accommodations.
Sorry, I'm sorry to be laughing, but that is exactly what happened at the end of my marriage. I mean, I was married for 20 years. In the last few years, I was just unhappy within myself and blaming Glenn for all of it. Started to build resentment. Then got to the stage where we weren't even affectionate anymore. There was no affection, there was no touching, there was nothing. And then, of course, it eventually ended. But it sounds like that's a common story by the sounds of things.
I think it's almost inevitable for almost all couples. Because our culture is so individuality oriented. And actually I see, a lot of loneliness in our culture. And it's hard for people to get a sense of how they contribute to the things they complain about.
And so what happens in these situations, and we deal with it a lot in both of our books. We have another book we wrote earlier, which is our story, our own personal story, how things work. It takes skills. You have to have skills to be able to talk to your partner, listen to your partner, make requests nicely to your partner, because whoever your partner was when they were 25, they're very different when they're 40.
Mm.
And it's like being married to a new person.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to make new agreements, new understandings, new ways of dealing with things. But it takes the skills. So we teach our couples, one, you have to know to expect that your partner's going to change. When they're 25, they're not the same as when they're 40. And you have to have the skills to listen to your partner. And we teach listening skills both in our video courses and on the live classes that we run. We teach the partners how to listen without interrupting. And there's a whole process so that you can really understand your partner. Instead of trying to win the argument, you want to see how different they are. How do they look at this? Well, that's amazing. They see it so differently than how I.
Yeah.
And so that's a critical skill that you have to develop. And you're not born with that. It's like learning to ice skate or play basketball. You have to learn it.
And so. Yeah. Now, we all know that love and relationships are pretty common themes on this show. And most importantly, the love we show to ourselves. And this is exactly why I wanted to share something really special with you. It's a toolkit that I've created that will help you to welcome more love into your life. It features 50 empowering love affirmations and the Meet Your Perfect Partner Match quiz that reveals your ideal partner in just seconds. So if you're ready to find that one special someone who will be overjoyed to give you everything that you need and want in your love relationship, simply go to notoverjustdifferent.com/love toolkit to get free access now. Because I think, you know, I'm in a new relationship. Well, it's 3 years now, so it's not super new. But and of course, you know, this is the first time in a, I'm in a relationship like this with this level of awareness and this level of consciousness, and learning all, you know, all the deep work that I did after my marriage ended, and so now I come to this new relationship, and it's you're right. It's how to listen without trying to defend your position. You know, how do I really listen to understand so that I can understand what's happening here? And also taking responsibility that if I'm showing up and I'm getting triggered, that I know that it's not what's happening in this moment. This is old stuff. This right. is my stuff. And right. I have to take responsibility to figure out what that is and to heal that and to move on from that.
Well, and you want your partner to support you in that. So we have some specific processes we do with people in our classes where we have one partner say what it was like for them growing up and what difficulties they had with their parent and so forth. And then the partner listens and says, oh, tell me more and describe it in more detail. May understand of this one. And then after you explain all the details of why you're so sensitive, like I am sensitive to criticism because my mother was so intense and I could never please her. So if Barbara raises her voice or even hints that maybe I'm not doing something perfectly, I go into a tailspin. Oh, gosh. She's just criticizing me like my mother, and she has no clue. So I have to let her know that I'm really sensitive to criticism, and it's nothing about you. It's just my sensitivities. But it would really help if I don't turn out the light. If you say to me, oh, it would really make me happy if you turn out the light, Michael. And I say, oh, sure, I'd love to turn out the light. I didn't realize I didn't turn out the light. But if she says, you know, you didn't turn out the light. Oh, geez. All right, let's get divorced. I'm leaving, you know.
No, exactly. So, and I like that because it's the, you know, I have the same thing. Can't be told what to do. Hate feeling like I'm being criticized. Yes. And for me, it's like, yes, I make a request to ask me to do things. Don't tell me. Although it's really interesting because, you know, I think we find the partners that are the mirror that help us to heal. So, yes. You know, I don't like being told what to do. And my partner ran a very successful business. He was operations manager and has 4 kids. So telling people what to do is just his way of communicating. So I'm like, all right, here we go. So even though I know he's not criticizing, there are some times where I'm like, please, my request is that you communicate this way, and I'm going to do my best not to get all upset and, you know, sensitive to different things as well. So, yeah.
I think your point is very important, that we're attracted to a partner who has the potential to heal all of our stuff from growing up. And that's why we're attracted. And all we want from our partner is we want them to totally turn themselves inside out so they could heal us. Because if they stay the same, they'll never heal us. And so, but that's the nature. And she wants me to go inside out to heal her. Barbara has her stuff of abandonment because her natural father left when she was 2, never saw him again. She goes crazy with abandonment. If I'm unavailable to talk to her on the phone when she's worried about me or something, she's freaking out. And
it used to be when Michael would take plane trips and the day before iPhones, I would ask him to call as soon as he got off the plane. So I knew he was alive. And right. That wasn't an easy thing to do before handheld phones. He had to go find a payphone, and it wasn't particularly practical. But, you know, everyone has their own pieces of craziness,
right?
And it's so healing to be able to accommodate your partner, and you understand why they're asking for the what seems like irrational request they ask for. And it's just a way to work through, you know, through history. When you were a child, you were helpless and unreflective, but you can resolve it as an adult with a partner who really is committed to partnership with you.
Yeah, exactly. And so, So if we have a partner who's open to doing this and we have come into this agreement, we go, right, you know, I want to help you, you want to help me. I understand that when these things show up, because, you know, this criticizing thing didn't show up so much in my marriage, but it's showing a whole lot more now. So it does it. How does it work? Like as we go through life and as we get older, different things come to the surface at different times of our life.
That is true. Well, particularly if you have kids, there's a whole lot of things that come up when you have kids.
Right.
That's whole one thing. And then the kids grow up and they leave and they have their own kids. And then you're just, once again, it's just you and your partner. So yeah. That's a different experience. And other things will come up. So you have other fears, you know, fears of dying, fears of not having enough money, fears of becoming sick or ill. So in every stage of life, there are new things that happen and new issues that come up. So you have, you know, issues when you're in your 40s where you're trying to become independent and having your own point of view about things. When you go a little older into your 50s and 60s, you start focusing on certain emotional issues, heartfelt issues, and that becomes, you know, you want to feel once again connected in a different way, you know, but you want to feel connected again. And yeah. So, you know, there's always different issues that come up, and that doesn't stop. There's always different issues.
But your point is that probably different people evoke different injuries in your, I mean, everybody's got, you know, small T traumas, right? Mm-hmm. From their childhood when they were, you know, virtually powerless to, you know, organize their lives. And so, you know, there's opportunities to heal in many situations. And, you know, you want to take those opportunities because that puts you more at peace with yourself and more in control of yourself and more really understanding yourself. And you want to be able to be a healing influence to a partner. It's a hugely loving thing to do. And it bonds you together in, you know, deep ways. And, you know, we all want that.
Yeah. And you know, if I'm looking back at my marriage, I think the lack of communication was really what contributed a lot to the end of our marriage, because there was a whole lot of things that never got said. We just seemed to be drifting further and further apart. So to be able to establish such a great communication with your partner as a foundation must also contribute to keeping the passion alive in the marriage as well, right?
It's a critical part of it, absolutely. Yeah. So we teach when we run our courses that you do daily sharing with your partner, 3 to 5 minutes each one, and then you're not allowed to interrupt your partner when they're doing the sharing. And we teach you how to listen, just to say thank you, and not to interrupt because you're not trying to convince them of they're wrong. Just want to understand them. And when you have that 3 to 5 minutes of sharing, it's very intense. And in the beginning, it may not be so pleasant because there's a lot of stuff that you've been holding back. But once you get into that sharing mode, then you start sharing positive things and saying, yeah, I had a wonderful day. This happened and I saw this person and I felt this and I felt that and reminded me of this and that. And so you want to share intimate feelings and thoughts with your partner, because your partner should be the one that you do that sharing with. Barbara now says that I am her best friend. She used to have a best friend who passed away like 15 years ago. And I've moved into that place. She feels like I'm her best friend now, which is really such a sweet thing. And it takes a lot of listening and sharing to be able to do that. And you need to have the skills of how to do that sharing.
Right. And so what are some of those pointers? Like, how can we, as a couple, improve our communication?
Well, we need to, Michael outlined the process of, you know, sharing your internal experience of your day, what you're thinking about, what's important to you. Your values, what, you know, you need to be in touch with yourself first. And if you don't know what to share, it could be that not much is going on in your life. That should wake you up to how you need to wake up and get yourself activated into, you know, really what, how you're made and what's important to you and how you want to contribute. And so, you know, it takes both an individual journey as well as a couple's journey to have a dynamic relationship.
And when we teach the sharing in our courses, we describe that, one, you're listening for at least 3 minutes, 3 to 5 minutes without interrupting. And two, once you're finished with the sharing, you don't talk about whatever you said for a whole day.
Oh.
Because there's a lot of emotional stuff that you're sharing, and you don't want your partner to say, well, that was really stupid. I can't believe that. You don't want to do that. You want your partner to sit with it, and you want to sit with it for a whole day before you come back and share again, because you're real sensitive about that stuff you're sharing, and you don't want your partner to end up saying things. And you got to decide who goes first and who goes second. The person who goes first kind of sets the menu of what you're sharing about. And the one who goes second gets to, you know, tell their point of view and their thoughts about it. And then you stop. So it's a little uncomfortable in the beginning because you have stuff that you'd like to, you know, show why they're wrong and you're right, but you don't. And so you learn to sit with that stuff. And when you can see the world from a bigger point of view by not sharing, that's so helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think that with women, we like to be consoling, and I think with men, they like to fix it.
That's correct. Yeah. Exactly right. And so when we limit it to a maximum of 5 minutes, that makes the men happy because then for 24 hours, they don't have to talk about any of that stuff. And the women like it because they get 5 minutes of real intense sharing.
Right.
And listening. And they love it because of that.
Yeah, I love that. Well, the two of you have such a huge, big body of work. It's not just the books that you do, but it's the courses and everything else that you do as well. So how can people who are listening to the podcast right now contact you? How can they find you, you know, and how can they work with you?
So they can go to fallinginloveforever.com. That has our website and has options for taking classes and courses. Some of them are just video courses that are online, and some of them are in person or live Zoom classes. And that would be one option. They can get our book, the Ageless Love book. They can go to agelesslovebook.com and then get a free chapter, or they can buy the book. And there's lots of prescriptions in the book and lots of ways where they can interact with us.
It's wonderful. All right. So I have one more question for you, because I'm in two minds about what the answer could be for me for this particular question. You know, when their couple gets to a point where there is a lot of resentment and there's, you know, lack of physical contact, and it looks like, you know, the end is coming, is there a way back from that?
Absolutely. In that situation, a couple needs to be guided carefully, because their instincts to talk in blame language will, you know, sabotage the future. They need to learn how to, you know, share their feelings and use that to understand what they really want and need from each other so that they can grow through this period. It's tough. And you know, when you're on the other side of it, you can see your joint responsibility in creating the chaos.
And what I can say is that a lot of counselors are not good at couples counseling. They're right. Good one-on-one. But couples counseling is a whole different animal than one-on-one counseling. And someone like Dr. Barbara is really good to not make one of the couples right and the other one wrong. Rather, you got to really see the whole big picture of what's going on and then see a way in which each partner can end up winning and feeling appreciated and so on. And it's a process. When couples can start talking to each other without screaming at each other, and they actually can actually listen and so on, then we invite them into our classes, because then they're ready for that next step of learning these skills and being able to do it on their own without Barbara there refereeing them.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Once you get down to go down that little resentment rabbit hole, then all you can see is all the things you don't like about your partner.
and all the reasons why it's their fault that you're not happy, that you're whatever, that your life isn't the way that you want it. I'm happy to hear that there is a road back from that. So if anyone's listening, I do highly, highly recommend that you reach out to Dr. Barbara, Dr. Michael, that you get to read the books. I know there's a lot of information in there, and the practicality of what you teach is very easy for people to be able to implement. You know, and if you have a partner who's willing to do the same thing, then, you know, you really can help to not just bring harmony back and bring love back, but bring passion back. And I think as long as we, you know, we remember or we realize that we're not the same people, that, you know, you're not the same person that you were when you got married in your 20s or so forth. So, yeah. But, well, I want to thank you so much, the two of you, for joining me today. It's been a fantastic and very enlightening conversation. You obviously walk your talk, which is what I love. And I just want to thank you so much for your time today.
Well, we enjoyed being with you, and thank you for all your work that you do.
Thank you very much. Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Not Over, Just Different. If you've been inspired by this episode and want to take the next step in your journey, be sure to check out our Welcome Pack. It's a great way to start your own personal development journey with the help of our amazing community. Next week, we'll be back with even more inspiring stories and practical advice for anyone ready to take on their next chapter in life, feeling fully empowered and full of passion for the journey ahead. And be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast by visiting notoverjustdifferent.com. Also, a 5-star rating and review makes a huge difference in helping us get the word out. We'll talk to you again next week. Until then, keep living your best life.